It's good to be able to be with you again and to actually be looking at this last sermon in the series on prayer. This is now the fourth week, and we've been looking through the idea of praying and really how to pray, because do you know what? I speak to a lot of people at different times, and it's very rare that I speak to someone who says, you know what? I've got prayer down pat. I can do it easy. More often than not, I speak to people and they say, I struggle. I find it hard. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to say. Or so on and so forth. So the idea has been in these last couple of weeks is to go through this idea of prayer and praying with, and this idea of a pattern which a number of us have found very helpful. It's a model, as it were. It's a very simple model. If it works for you, good. If it doesn't work, then that's fine. It's all good. Just find something that does work for you. And as you've seen, you can see it up on the screen, we've been working through this acronym of ACTS. It's very easy to remember. It's one of the books of the Bible. A is for adoration. C is for confession. T is for thanksgiving. And S is for supplication, which means to earnestly ask. Or S also stands for shopping list. And that's sometimes what it's a bit like, isn't it? It's a bit like we get the shopping list out with God. And I actually think this model of prayer helps us, because in many ways it's like a handbrake, isn't it? It's a bit like, whoa, not so fast. Just stop and adore God for who he is. And the scriptures do that all the time, don't they? Just read through the Psalms. Just wonderful descriptions, adoring God. But when you do that, well, when you stop and reflect upon God, it's a time to confess then, isn't it? As we reflect on who we are in his presence. And so rightly and properly we do that. And then when you stop and think about all the good gifts that God has given us, the good and the bad, and we sang that song earlier this morning, didn't we? Blessed be your name. And blessed always be the name of the Lord. He gives and he takes away, but blessed always be the name of the Lord. Thanks always to God. And then with that right relationship, with a relationship right with God, we come with the shopping list, as it were. The things that we can ask God for. Politicians always say that they've got a mandate, don't they? I've got a mandate. Dear friends, you have a mandate. You have a mandate to ask for anything and everything from God. Whether he says yes, no, or not yet is his choice. But you have a mandate to ask. And we see that in the readings that were read for us this morning. Did you notice in James chapter 5 in verse 13? James says, if any of you is in trouble, you should pray. That's always a good thing to do, isn't it? When we are in trouble. And then in the very next verse it says, and if any of you are sick, you should call the elders and pray. They're very reactive prayers, aren't they? That is, we're in trouble or we're sick, and so we react by praying. And that's good, that's fine. That's actually what the scriptures tell us to do. We have a loving God who longs to hear us and who longs to give good gifts. Even this morning I had somebody come to me before one of the services started and said, can you pray for me? What do you think my answer was? Of course. And there and then we prayed, because they were unwell. But you also notice, though, that there are opportunities to not just be reactive in our prayers, but proactive in our prayers. If we'd read the first chapter of the book of James, it says there that if anyone lacks wisdom, they should pray. But wisdom's always a good thing to have, isn't it? And in chapter 4, it says you don't have because you don't ask. And it's not just James who tells us about prayer. The Apostle Paul, he wrote lots of things, and he wrote lots of things about prayer particularly. Let me just mention some of what Paul says about prayer. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says we should pray on all occasions with all sorts of prayers. Did you hear the word all in there? On all occasions, so when you're in need and in trouble, as well as when you're not, and everything in between, with all sorts of prayers. In Philippians 4, Paul says, in everything, make your requests known to God. How much simpler can it be? In all things, make your requests known to God. And if you're sort of thinking to yourself, well, what specifically could I pray for? Because, you know, pray for about all things, that's a bit, what could I pray about specifically? Well, Paul gives us some ideas. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says that we should pray for kings and those who are in authority over us. Now, what's really interesting is when Paul writes that, guess what? The kings and the rulers weren't necessarily always sympathetic towards Christians. And what are they to do? The Christians are to pray for those who lead them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says to the Thessalonians, pray for me. So I take that to be, hey, we can pray for church leaders. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says that we should pray for one another that our love may abound. Do you see all the options we have in what we can pray about? We have a mandate. And it's not just James and it's not just Paul who says it, but Jesus also says that we can pray. Interestingly, Jesus says that we should pray for those who persecute us. There's an interesting one, isn't it? For those of us who give us a hard time. For those of us who put us down in our faith. And if we were to be followers of Jesus in other countries, those who may physically persecute us. Jesus also says we should pray for people to be harvesters in God's harvest field. But did you notice what he said in the reading from John's Gospel? Did you notice what it said in verse 13 and 14? John 14 is a very well-known passage, isn't it? In my Father's house are many rooms, I am the way, the truth and the life. But towards the end of that passage, in verse 13 and 14, it says, Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Anything we can ask for. Which then begs the question, can you pray for parking spots when you've got to go down the street? Now please don't tell me at the door like every other congregation has this morning, I pray for parking spots. Look, let me just put it nice and easy. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it says don't pray for parking spots. So if you want to pray for parking spots or someone to park your chariot, that's all good. It's fine. But in all things. But what we also see though is that Jesus is raising some very important things here. He tells us to pray in his name. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Does it mean though you just put that in Jesus' name at the end, amen, which is a bit like pretty please with sugar on top? No, we know it's not. More importantly, it's the Gospel of John, chapter 14, gives us an idea of what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Because how does the chapter start? In my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I'll take you to be where I am. And then there's I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. In Jesus' name, we come before the Father. In Jesus' name, through the work of Jesus, we have the authority to actually come before our Father in heaven and ask. But also we have the option to be able to ask for that which glorifies the Father, because that's what Jesus said. He said, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. So the idea is that we should be praying for things in Jesus' name, praying for things that the Father would want. Because actually, it's about his glory, isn't it? Just consider that the Lord's Prayer. Consider that the beginning of it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. your kingdom come, your will be done. It's about the Father and his kingdom. It's about his glory. So we should be praying for it, at the very least, those things that bring glory to the Father. Those things that are about God's kingdom. And how will we know what those things are? Well, that's why we read our Bibles, isn't it? So that we might pray accordingly. What are we to do with this? Let me just let you into the inside of preaching. The idea of preaching is to, in many ways, expound the passage, explain any difficult bits, and then give people an opportunity to apply it to their lives. The application part. It's often at the end. Where are the application part if you hadn't worked that out? And often what happens is the application for different congregations can be completely different. I look around here and I see a couple of different demographics. I look at the 8 o'clock service, it's a completely different demographic. And so sometimes my application throughout the day can change depending on what congregation I'm speaking to. I'm going to be speaking at all four congregations today here at Holy Trinity. Guess what? My application is not going to change. Because this is an application which is universal for those who call themselves followers of Jesus. And this application is very easy to remember, because this application is helped by remembering those famous and wise words of a particular sporting goods company. Nike. And those famous wise words of the Nike advertising campaign are what?
Just do it.
Just do it. You have a mandate to pray. You have been given permission, not just by the apostles, but by Jesus himself, to ask, to make supplication, to present your shopping list. Just do it. Just do it is the application at all times and in all places about all things. We shouldn't be trying to make this complicated, should we? I remember some of the best advice I ever received when I was a young Christian was to not try and use complicated words, because I wanted to use really prayer words, like really, just say it. Do you know some of the best prayers I've ever heard are the prayers from people who have just become Christians, because they haven't learned the Christian language yet? They just talk to God. They just do it. We don't need to use special words, we just need to pray. And one of the things that I've been trying to do over the last couple of years, and I hope that you've been able to see it, is that I've actually been trying to make sure that we model prayer well here at church. Let me tell you what I mean by that. On the back of the weekly slips, every week, we give you some prayer points. Some of them are very topical for that period in time, and others are prayer points that continue to cycle round. I don't know if you ever realise, but and they come under blocks, like the world, Australia and the local community, the church, and those in need. They're good summary points. And some cycle around. For instance, every week we pray for our governments, because we're told to pray for our kings and those who have authority over us. And so one week we pray for our Prime Minister and the federal government. The next week we pray for our Premier and local representatives at the state level. And the next week we pray for the local government and for our Mayor. And I don't care whether you voted for them or not, because it doesn't have that as a caveat in the command to pray for those who rule over us. And we also put in the things that are pertinent to that week or that time. It's a good model of prayer. And so some people actually take those weekly slips and they stick them in their Bibles and they use them during the week. One of the things I encourage those who lead us in prayer up the front here to do is to model that and we'll see how Robin goes in a few moments when she gets up to leave. But what you'll see is that Robin won't just pray for herself, but for us and for the world and for God's church. I remember someone telling me once that they used to receive lots of prayer letters. You might be a person that gets lots of prayer letters. Maybe you've got connections with lots of different missionaries. Or you've just got friends who send prayer letters out. And they were saying that they worked out this system to deal with praying through prayer letters. Because you know what? You get them in the mail, don't you? And then you just stick them in the drawer. But no, they had them. They had a manila folder. How technical is that? A manila folder. And they would take the prayer letter and then they would put it in the manila folder. And if there was an older prayer letter from that person, they'd chuck it out. And then they'd put it in the manila folder, and then in the morning they would open up the manila folder and they would pray through, say, I can't remember exactly now, but say the top three prayer letters. And you know what they'd then do next? They'd take the three letters and put them at the bottom. And the next day they open the manila folder and they read and pray for the next three prayer letters. And they just cycled through that way. Different times in my life, I've journaled, I've written to God. One of the things I found helpful at one stage was to take my journal, turn it upside down and around, and start writing prayer points at the back of the journal. And it's really helpful because it actually shows you things that God has said yes to and no to. As I've looked back over, say, my 8.5 years here, I've seen some yeses and a couple of noes, and there's a few not yets. I, at the moment, am trying to use an app on my iPad called PrayerMate. I'm seeing how that goes for the moment. Whatever it takes, I don't care. Just do it. Just do it. Just ask. And if you're one of the people like myself where you get distracted very easily, look, my mind is so fast. It goes 1,000 miles an hour. It never goes anywhere, it just goes around in circles. But often when I stop to pray, I get so easily distracted. So there are times I write my prayers out. These old prayer books can be helpful at times. This one's seen some. This one's seen a few years, David, this one. Whatever it takes that we might come before God and ask. And that's what I want to actually finish with, this idea of asking. James says, you don't have because you don't ask. I can't remember exactly. I could go back and look it up, but let me just put it out like this. About 7.5 years ago, it's more than that. It's 8.5 years ago. Whenever I was driving out to St. Stephen's, which was one of our branch centres, whenever I was driving out there, I'd drive down the main street of Strathfield, say, and I would say to God, this was my very long prayer with my eyes open as I was driving, Lord, what are we going to do out here? Amen. That was it. What are we going to do out here? Amen. And then sometime later, I happened to be talking to the wardens and I just said, does anyone know anybody out in the Uniting Church at Strathfield, say? And that got me going with conversations with people in the Strathfield, say, Uniting Church. And then after that had been going for a little while, there was a bloke who came to town. His name was Brian Roberts. He happened to be the national director of BCA, Bush Church Australia, Bush Church Aid. I decided I'd be bold and take him out for dinner, or lunch actually. I asked him, Brian, can I take you out for lunch? I think he knew I had an agenda. At the end of the lunch, I said to him, I'd like to tell you about a place called Strathfieldsaye. I told him about Strathfieldsaye, and at the end of my spiel, I simply asked, do you think BCA might be able to help? I asked, not knowing what the answer would be. And here we are, what, 7 years, 6 years later, at least 8.5 years after asking God, Lord, what are we going to do out here? And there is a full-time minister in Strathfield saying, congregations are working together and seeking to bring Christ to that community. I just asked. Didn't do anything special. I just asked. Do you wonder, do you ever wonder what God might do in your families and in your lives and in the life of this church if we just asked?